ministry. I think about our soul winning ministries, and sometimes you will have downtime. Sometimes you will have opposition. Sometimes you'll have difficulty. But the thing that we have, like with bus ministry, is we're just there. We keep on going. And we're there. We keep showing up, and we keep offering the love and grace of God. And so you're ready to help people even when they go through the ups and downs. And over time, God blesses that faithfulness. So remember to be faithful. Stick with it. Don't give up when you get hit. And you'll see certain times God will just bring in the blessings, and you just have been consistently sowing, and all of a sudden you'll get a harvest time. The Bible says sow in season and out of season. And when you're out of season, stay faithful and keep sowing, because you will reap. Sooner or later you'll reap if you faint not. Hey, that should be my sermon. No, I'm going to go back. Please take your Bible and turn back to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation and chapter 12. And this morning we talked about, make sure that you are on the winning side in this longest war between God and the devil. God and the devil. There is a war going on, and there is a fight going on. And make sure that you are on the winning side in this war between God and the devil. We talked about that this morning, and we said that you need to see the big picture of this war. And we wound up talking about that, but we want to go back to that. And this is like an exposition of Revelation chapter 12. So make sure you're on the winning side in this longest war by seeing the big picture of that war. And go down with me tonight to verse number 4 of chapter 12, Revelation 12 and verse 4. Amen and amen. We have the children's night church dismissed already. So let's go to verse 4. It says in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now here the tail is the tail of a dragon. Amen. And the dragon we know is Satan, who is also that old serpent or the devil. And he was once a high-ranking angelic being that guarded the throne of God. And he fell to be the greatest enemy and the lowliest one in the universe. And watch out, because pride goeth before a fall. And Satan got into pride, and he went down and he fell. And by the way, when people fall away from God, when you fall away from the will of God and you begin to backslide, what do? You take people with you. Amen? Remember when Peter, he said, I go a fishing. That meant I'm backsliding. I'm going to go. Well, there are a bunch of people that went with Peter. A bunch of the apostles went with Peter. And Jesus had to go and clean up that mess that Peter had made by going out and restoring Peter. And sometimes you have to do that. But guess what? There is no way to restore Satan. There is no way to restore the fallen angels. And he's talking about a third of these stars, which are angels that followed Satan in his rebellion, and there is no way back for them. But we're talking now about the fact that Satan is just at war with God. He's been at war with God for 6,000 years. You say, what can I learn from that? Learn not to give up. If the devil, who knows he's going to hell, if the devil knows, because he's read the last page of the Bible, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to defeat his son of the devil and defeat his kingdom and establish the kingdom of the Lord, we know that's going to happen. We know we're on the winning team. That ought to give you strength. People say, well, Pastor, you believe in the sovereignty of God. What keeps you going? The sovereignty of God, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul was told by Jesus, you keep going here at Corinth. You keep giving the gospel, because I have much people in this city. By the way, I believe that there are many people in Lackawanna County that are going to get saved. God's planned it. There are people in northeastern Pennsylvania going to get saved. God's planned it. Much more people than we've seen now. But he is not going to do it without you and me and us being faithful. And here Satan is. He knows he's on the wrong side. He knows he's against God. He knows he's on the losing side. And yet for 6,000 years he fights. And listen to me. The closer he gets to his end, the harder he fights. Well, we ought to learn something from that. And so he took a third of the angels with him, and he is fighting against God and God's program. And that's what it talks about there in verse number 4. Notice that in verse number 4 again, it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 4, I'll read it again. It says that, and I want to get into verse end of verse 4. It says, after that he dragged the stars of heaven with him, it says, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, who is the woman? One of the men tell me, who is the woman in Revelation chapter 12? Joel, yell it out.
Israel.
The nation of Israel. And God has established, listen to me, the nation of Israel to bring forth the seed that God promised that would be the king of the world and would take Satan out, take his rulership out, and destroy his fake kingdom and destroy it. And you know, Adolf Hitler, he planned to have 1,000 years of his kingdom, and it didn't last very long at all. Hitler was done, but Hitler's coming back, and Satan is going to use this wicked man to try to establish his kingdom on earth with Hitler as the beast, with the false prophet and the false Christ, and with Satan being the unholy spirit. And so here we have here Satan, and he sees the birth of Christ. And notice this in read Revelation chapter 12 in verse 5. It says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to the throne of God. Now here's Satan, and he wants to get this seed of the woman as soon as this Messiah is born. And there was a man that was a wicked man. He was possessed by the devil, and he saw these wise men coming from the east. They came from the area where Daniel was in captivity in Babylon, in Persia. Daniel was there through those two empires. He made a lot of prophecies, and they were looking for the star in the east that would give them a sign of the Messiah. Now, you know what that star was? It was not a star like one of the stars, like the sun is a star and the stars in the sky. No, it was an angel. Angels are called stars. A star wouldn't lead them and stand right over Bethlehem. That doesn't happen. A star in the sky didn't move with them. This star moved with them. And they followed this star, and the star led them right to Bethlehem. Well, when King Herod saw that, he represented the Roman Empire, and the Romans had the hold over, and they gave him his power, and he didn't want some king to be born that was the king of the Jews that would get rid of him and his power. And so he saw all these kings. By the way, it wasn't three wise men. It was a lot of kings that came from the east. They had three kinds of gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there were many of them. And he saw this entourage, and he was afraid that his kingdom was threatened because he wanted power. And it's the same thing with Satan. Satan wants his power. He doesn't want his kingdom threatened. And so Herod, you see, Herod had a plan to kill the baby. But the wise men were warned in a dream. They went another way. And so Herod wasn't able to kill the baby. So one of the men tell me, inspired by Satan, what did Herod do? Raise your hand if you know, Brother Matt. He killed all the children 2 years old and under. Can you imagine that? Think of all the pain and the havoc that Satan does in the world. Do you realize it?
Right.
Do you realize it? COVID, that's Satan.
Right.
We talk about Bill Gates and Fauci and all them, but it's really Satan.
Right.
And his fallen angels that do these things. And why does he do all these things? He hates God. He hates Jesus Christ. He wants power. And he's doing all that he can to try to stay in power, even though he knows God is more powerful. And he knows that God keeps beating him. Yet he continues to. You know, it amazes me how people keep fighting against President Donald Trump. Two impeachments, lawfare, all these law things, and they want to put him in jail. They're supposed to try to sentence him to jail in July. His helper, like Steve Bannon, all these guys, if they're doing that to a man who may be raised up of God to threaten the globalists and their plan, how much more are they against Jesus Christ? Because Satan hates Jesus Christ. And all this anti-Semitism, Satan hates Israel. That's why good conservatives that don't understand this, like Candace Owens, she's a good lady, but she does not. She's a Catholic now. She became a Roman Catholic. She spiritually needs some help. She doesn't understand. Alex Jones is weak on this. Great news guy. I listen to him all. But he doesn't understand the hatred of Satan for Israel. It's not that the Jewish people are perfect. They're just chosen of God.
Right.
And when the Jewish people get saved as a nation, God's kingdom is going to come to earth. Satan gets put in the bottomless pit. Satan doesn't want that. So he got Herod to fight against the Messiah. And when he couldn't get him, he's so ruthless that he had every child two and under in the area where Jesus was killed. He did it in the days of Moses with the Jewish people. Satan wants to exterminate the Jewish people, and that's why there's all this hatred for the Jewish people. But guess what? You're not going to stop the Jewish people. Every time Satan has tried to stop him, God gets the victory. Haman tried to do it under the Persian Empire. What was the victory? Purim. They cast lots, and they now were able to fight their enemies that were going to fight them, and there was a holiday. Hitler tried to get rid of the Jewish people in 1945. Hitler died. He was shot in the head, and by May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation. They have their own 4th of July. When you try to stop, that ought to encourage you. If you're on the Lord's side, you're on the winning side. Why do you give up to Satan? Why do you let him depress you, discourage you? No, stand in the love of God. Stand in the grace of God. Realize that a lot of the things that you may go through is because Satan hates Jesus Christ. And he sees him in you, and he is trying to defeat you. And by the way, he will sow discord amongst the brethren. He's an accuser of the brethren. He'll get you right now to think bad thoughts about your brothers and sisters in Christ. I was talking to a guy this morning, and I said, you know what? Well, I told my whole Sunday school class, I said, we're not going to be of one accord doesn't mean we agree on everything. It means that we agree on the main thing, that we're here as his witnesses, and we're here, you see, to work together to witness for Jesus Christ and win people to Jesus Christ. And so here you have in verse 5 this attack of the devil, and he is seeking to kill and stop Jesus. And it says, and he brought forth a man-child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. I am so glad this evening we live in a world in which the Supreme Court makes some decisions I like and some I absolutely hate. We see things happening that grieve my heart. Lot, when he was in Sodom, he said his righteous soul was vexed. How many of you have had your righteous soul vexed by ungodliness going on? You just get sick of it, don't you? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that Donald Trump and politics are not going to totally solve these problems. I mean, we can only hope for encouragement and help, but they're not going to solve the problem. I am here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is going to be the one that will solve the problem. The Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Do you think that homosexuals and transsexuals are going to go into the public schools in the thousand-year reign when Jesus is on the throne in Jerusalem? You think no, it's not going to happen. Do you think there's going to be pornography going on? It's not going to happen. Jesus is going to knock it out. No cross-dressers. No porn industry. Hey, there's going to be... At one time, I was telling Brother Steve Saturday, we went out together. I was telling him that there was one time in Lackawanna County, there were supposed to be more bars per capita than anywhere else. I know Billy Sunday came through here and he preached against booze. By the way, I'm against booze. But I want to just tell you, Satan will be bound and in the bottomless pit. He will be there with his fallen angels, by the way. He will be there with his fallen angels during this thousand-year reign of Christ. And Christ will be sitting on the throne. And you'll be able to reign with Christ. And there'll be no bars allowed. It'll be out of there. I'm just saying to you, there's a thousand years when people will be living in their bodies on this earth. There'll be nations on this earth. And the Lord will show you how it's supposed to be done. He's just allowed this 6,000 years of Satan and his rule to show us how great in comparison it will be. You say, why did he allow Joe Biden to be there? I don't even believe he was duly elected. He's a usurper like Satan. But he was allowed through sin to get in that White House. He's not competent, and he's controlled by Obama and the globalists. Why is that allowed? Hopefully so we can see the contrast between what has happened under Biden and what's going to happen under Trump. I mean, gas was $1.80 some when Trump left office, and now it's like $3.45 for regular, $3.60, whatever. It's bad. Yep. And you could go on and on with that one. I'm just saying to you, what a contrast. And you say, why all this suffering? Satan is a control freak. He has raised up Marxists and fascists. And if he had his way, he would control the whole world. And he would have one man ruling the entire world. And that would be an Adolf Hitler man and his Jewish Antichrist. And Satan would control everything. And so that's his desire. And Herod was trying to fight the Messiah. Now, I want you to notice here that in verse number 6 of Revelation chapter 12, what it says. I'm going to read verse number 6. It says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, notice that it talks about this woman in verse 5 that was brought forth the man-child. Then it says, 33 and a half years later, he was caught up to God. So in one verse, you go from the birth of Christ, and then you go to 33 and a half years later when he has ascended back into heaven after he died on the cross and rose again. Now go to the next verse, verse 6, and it says, the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, one of the men tell me, we know the woman is Israel. We just looked at the ascension of Christ. About how many years is it from the ascension of Christ until the woman flees into the wilderness? It's not 33 and a half years later, but about how many years? Anybody know? About 2,000 years. So this verse 5 goes to verse 6, and he's going ahead about 2,000 years, and the woman flees into the wilderness. And you say, well, when does that happen? When does the woman flee into the wilderness? It is right in the middle of the 7 years prophesied by Daniel, just before Christ takes over and rules for 1,000 years. And so the woman is going to have to flee to the wilderness in order to get away from this Hitler who is returned to rule over the revived Roman Empire and to rule over the world under 10 different sectors of the world. And that will start right in the middle of the 70th week. Now listen, Satan is just licking his chops. He would like to do this right now. But you know what? I believe the prayers of God's people give us more time so we can get people saved. We don't need more time so we can play games. We don't need more time so that we can get into sin and have our fun and have our American dream, whatever it is. Your American dream is a nightmare without God. What we need is a soul-winning church. And we need revival, beloved. We need revival. And so right in the middle of this 7 years, Satan is finally going to be allowed to get what he has wanted for all of this time. But the thing that amazes me, once he gets it, Hitler said, my kingdom's going to go for 1,000 years. It didn't last 3.5 years. This thing is not going to last 3.5 years the second time either. God's going to cut it short. God is going to cut it short. Whatever trial you may go through, whatever difficult time you may go through, you have to know that God puts a limit on your trials. God controls it, and he'll cut it short, and then the Lord will pour out his wrath. A second thing he's going to do that you need to see here in verse 6 is that he's going to provide a hiding place for the Israelites. He's going to provide a hiding place. They're going to be running away, because what's going to happen in the city of Jerusalem is that the beast is going to, with his armies, no doubt under the Jewish Antichrist, is going to come to Israel's aid, because they're going to be attacked by people that are against their sacrifices, because the beast is going to present himself as a friend and say, oh, you can do your sacrifices. We'll help you with your temple worship. We'll give you protection. You can do it for 7 years. Just make an agreement with me. We'll take care of you. And right in the middle of the 7 years, they're going to be attacked. Israel's going to be attacked by, no doubt, people that practice Islam. And the beast is going to come with his armies, surround Jerusalem, and he's going to say, we've got to stop these religious wars. We're going to have one religion, and guess what? I'm going to be God. And you worship me. And the Jewish Antichrist is going to make sure everybody gets a jab on their hand or their forehead, and there'll be one economy. Nobody will be poor. It will be socialism. Everybody will be able to have some money. Nobody will go hungry. It'll be the greatest thing in the world, they'll say. Oh, this is great. The only thing about socialism is it only works for a while, because eventually you run out of stealing other people's money, you see. So it's not going to last. Oh, but they're going to present it. It's going to be so wonderful. They'll say, peace on earth. You know, this great leader is so great. And then he's going to reveal himself as Hitler returning. Can you imagine the Jewish people when he's revealed, according to 2 Thessalonians 2? The Bible says they're going to flee. They're going to run to the south and to the east, to modern-day Jordan, in the mountains there, in the caves there. They're going to hide out there. I believe the 144,000 will lead them there. And they'll hide out. And they'll be protected. The beast will send his armies after them. It's called a great flood. And the earth will open up to protect them. It says that right in Revelation 12. Notice that. that it talks about the beast and he's going after them, and they're going to flee and they're going to be protected in this place, and the beast is not going to be able to get them. But I want you to notice here something else. Not only make sure you're on the winning team in the longest war by seeing the big picture of this war, but number two, by seeing the background of the great tribulation of this war. Look with me at verse 7 and 8. I'll read it. You follow. It says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." You see, that's called Star Wars. How many have heard of the movie Star Wars? Well, that's Star Wars. Stars are angels, and they fight one another, and Satan has one third of the angels. Michael has two thirds of the angels who didn't follow Satan, and they fight one another. Now, some people think that Satan is in hell. He's not in hell. No, he's not in hell. Satan, you see, can walk on the earth. Satan can be in outer space. And Satan can go into heaven and be in the presence of God. And so can his fallen angels. Think about Job in the Bible. The Bible says that when Satan wanted to get Job, he went before God and he said to God, "Yeah, I know." God said, "Look at my servant Job. There's nobody like him in the earth." And Satan said, "Yeah, but if you just take away all the good things you've given him, he'll curse you and he'll die." And so God started to let Satan do that. And Satan started, you see all the trouble Satan causes? And God let him do it. And Job's wife said exactly what Satan wanted. She said to Job, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "You speak as one of the foolish women." He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to curse God." Listen, the devil wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be suicidal. He wants you to give up and lose heart. Don't give in to his lies. He's lying to you. You come to church and hear the word of God on Sunday. You hear it in Sunday school. You hear it Sunday morning. You hear it Sunday evening. And then on Monday, the devil's got you down. And you're believing his lies. And I talk to believers all the time. They believe his lies. And then they do stupid things. Like some commit suicide. And some leave the church. And some give up. Listen, don't follow his lies. And so here you have a situation here where the devil is doing this war in heaven. He right now has the opportunity to go to heaven. We see it in Job's life. He stirred up trouble for Job. And then after God said to him, "Look, you moved me to do all these things to Job, and I've allowed you to do these things to Job. I didn't do it, but I allowed you to do it." He still has faith. And what did the devil do? "You're right, God." No, the devil goes, "What, Kyle?" Yeah, take his health from him. How about Diane Payone tonight? You think? You think that's a messenger of Satan? I believe so. Let me take his health. He'll then go against you. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he'll give for his skin. You do that and he will go against you. And Satan proceeded to do that. Now, there's another illustration of this. It's in the days of King Ahab. And King Ahab wanted to fight the king of Syria, so he got Jehoshaphat to help him to fight the king of Syria. And I noticed something here. Here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 21 says, "And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him." Now what we're talking about here is the Lord wanted Ahab to meet judgment because Ahab had been a wicked king. He'd gone against God. And so God was going to bring Ahab to the point of death and fulfill the prophecy of Elijah that said that Ahab was going to die. And so God says, when all of the angels are before him, you have the good angels who never sinned and the ones that follow Satan, and they're there. And they said, and God said, who's gonna be the one to be used for Ahab to go into battle and be killed in battle? And look at it says, that there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Is that God doing it? No. But God did want Ahab to meet judgment because of his sin. But here he allowed a lying spirit, a satanic spirit, one of those fallen angels, to do it. He allowed him to. Now Satan wants to do his thing, but God is in control of Satan. Do you see that? God is in control. He lets these bad things happen, but he, no pun intended, trumps Satan every time. Every time. He's the master chess player. What are you saying tonight, Pastor? I'm saying no matter what chaotic things seem to be happening, no matter what satanic things seem to be happening, no matter how much Satan seems, you stand your ground, you stand against Satan, you stand firm, and you trust God, and you don't give in to depression, you don't turn your tail and run, you keep on the armor of God. God never made any armor for the back of a person. He wants you to stand firm. And so here we are, and we see how Satan has access to God. But listen to me, during the last period in history, that is going to change. That is going to change because it says that there's going to be a war in heaven, and Satan and his angels are going to be defeated by Michael. And so what's going to happen when they are defeated in heaven by Michael? Well, notice what it says there in the Bible, that that is a tough time, because it says that he's going to be, in verse 9, he's going to be cast into the earth, and he's the one that deceiveth the whole world. And his angels were cast out with him. There's coming a time when Satan is defeated in heaven, and he will be cast out, and he will not be able to go to heaven anymore. So where's he going to do? He's going to come and give his last stand to try to win on earth, the battle on earth. You know, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said in the last days, what shall come? Perilous times. Perilous times. And the closer we get to the end, the greater the battle is going to be, the greater the warfare is going to be. And why is there going to be so much deception during this great tribulation, which happens in the middle of the 7 years, right at the time you see the beast and his armies surround Jerusalem, right at the time that the beast goes into the temple and says, we're going to have a one world religion, we're going to worship one man, we're not going to fight amongst Islam and Judaism and Christianity, we're going to have one religion, and you're going to take the mark, and you'll be blessed with peace, you'll be blessed with prosperity, you'll be able to get. But if you don't take the mark, you're going to be arrested and you're going to go to jail and you're going to get the death penalty. You know, it's amazed me how Joe Biden and his Justice Department is persecuting his political enemies, putting Navarro in jail, putting January 6th patriotic people in jail. They're still in jail right now. Trying to put Donald Trump in jail, putting Steve Bannon in jail. But listen, during this time, Jesus predicted it in John 17. He said there is going to be a time when they're going to think they're doing God a favor when they kill you. I was talking to Pastor Snyder the other day, and he was saying, well, he said, I'm going to go up. And he said, you'll be here and they'll be cutting your head off. I'm going to go up. I said, well, if you're right about that, I'm going up too. I could just say I'm wrong. But I know I'm not wrong. But when he doesn't go up, if he's still here, we don't know. At the beginning of the 70th week, he's going to need some help. And he's going to need some counsel. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, Brother Bob, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to say to believers, where's the promise of his coming? You said the rapture was going to take place. You said you weren't going to see this kind of a situation. Why didn't it happen? Your God must have failed you. You better worship this guy. And there'll be all kind of pressure to worship. You know the pressure when COVID came down? Remember that pressure? That's nothing. That's nothing compared to this. If you can't keep up with a footman, the Bible says, how are you going to run with the horses of the apocalypse? How are you going to run during that time? Right now, we need to walk with God so we can run with the Lord then. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Why will you be able to stand in that time? Because of the grace of God. I'd rather have grace to conquer than to be surprised by all of this and have to be snatched out like Lot was snatched out and helped like Lot was helped by angels. You need to be ready for what is coming just before the rapture. And the Bible talks about that. Now, I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 of Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at that right now. Verses 10 and 11, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You know what? You're going to overcome Satan. You're going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed in the blood? And if you've been saved by the blood, are you using the blood to make sure that your sins are confessed and you're clean and you're walking with God, that you have a conscience void of offense toward God and man? Listen, you overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the cleansing of the blood. You see, the Lamb cleanses us from our sin. Satan and his angels, they can't have that cleansing. They don't have it. And they hate you for it. But the folks that overcome him will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Then notice this, and by the word of their testimony. Do you know that even during this time of what's called the Great Tribulation, this gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end will come? Do you know when this point comes that the beast and the Jewish Antichrist, and the beast is revealed for who he is, and the Jewish Antichrist, and all of these miracles are happening? That shows you that Satan has but a very short time. And if Satan works harder when he has a very short time, we, God's people, ought to work harder. You say, well, shouldn't we be thinking about protecting ourselves? That's the nation of Israel. They're unsaved. Guess what? God's people should be thinking about witnessing for Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb. You know, Elijah's going to be preaching during that time. Right at the beginning of the tribulation, in the middle of the 7 years, he's going to preach in Jerusalem. And he and Moses are going to preach. And you know what? The beast is going to send out armies to try to kill them, but they're not going to be able to do it. Listen, if God wants you dead, you'll be dead. But if God wants you alive, you'll be alive. Your life is in God's hand. I think of Charlie Ware while we were in the dorms up at BBC. He said, Bloom, I had a dream. I said, what'd you dream, Charlie? He said, well, I was in my bed, and he said this big thing of acid appeared on the ceiling. And he said, In my dream, I didn't see the acid that was over me. I was oblivious to it. But God said, move your bed. And I got up and moved my bed. And he said, as soon as I moved my bed, that acid fell and burned a big hole in the floor there. He said, you know what, Bloom? The safest place to be is doing what God wants you to do. Just be where God wants you to be. Just say what God... That's the safest place for you to be. A lot of believers' lives are cut short even now. And they have a lot of things happen. Because God chastens us because we stop soul winning. That's right. We stop serving God. Did you hear me? And we think, oh, I'm going to have the good life. And God said, no, I'm going to take your life and cut it short. I'm going to take you out of here. You see, you're here for a purpose. That's the main thing. And so we need to understand that. And I believe that believers during that time, and I don't know if I'll be alive during that time. I'm not sure. I know we're getting closer, but I'm not sure. I had a lady this morning ask me, what about Turkey? And I told her about Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's Psalm 83. And then there's this time, the 70th week. I don't know. But I do know this. I want to serve God right now, every day. I want to be in the center of the will of God every day. It is the safest place for you to be. And people get these concocted ideas that, oh, I'll be safer if I hide out. I'll be safer if I... You'll be safer if you just do what God wants you to do. I've talked about a book, Faith, Fight, or Flight. It's not fight with arms that's going to be the answer. It's not flight or running and hiding is going to be the answer. It's faith. And then you just do what God wants you to do. But I do know this, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And notice what it says. Don't miss that third thing. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And what's the last thing? One of the men tell me, what is the key to overcoming Satan? They what? Loving not your life unto death. In other words, don't put your life above God. Do you know a lot of people right now are selling out and they won't even do the right thing with Donald Trump because they've been bought by money. They've been bought by the good cakey life. And you know there are a lot of preachers, they just say, I want my paycheck. And you just give me my paycheck and I'll be happy. No, I won't be happy. By the grace of God, I won't be happy. There's something more important than money. There's something more important than peace and tranquility. We need to realize that our founding fathers went to jail for a cause. We ought to have the cause of Christ. And that's a good reminder to us that we live in a world, and I think about people who say, oh, we'll never go into that time. Even Martin Luther, he had a song, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. Why? For God has willed his truth to triumph through us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Amen.
Yeah, man, I'm on the winning side. If you're saved, you're on the winning side. Let's act like it.
Good.
Let's stand up and be counted for God. And so you need to be on the right side by seeing your big picture of this war, by seeing the background of the great tribulation in this war. And I hope that you have an understanding. I love to read the Revelation. Amen. You know why I love to read the Revelation? It's promised to be a blessing. But you know why I love to read the Revelation? Because now that I have the right view, I understand it. I can preach on it just by the Bible. There was a time, Brother Bob, I couldn't. Because I had my professor's notes and it didn't make sense in so many ways. Now it all fits together.
Amen.
May God help you to overcome Satan through the blood of the Lamb by your testimony. And by the way, I did it this afternoon. Somebody called about an apartment. I talked to him. I said, I don't think this apartment would be right for you. I said, but I'm a pastor. Can I ask you a brief spiritual question? And she said, well, I'm Jewish. And oh, did I have fun there. Wow. I said, what kind of Jewish are you? Orthodox, conservative, or reformed, which is liberal? She said, I'm new Orthodox, whatever that is. But oh, I got to give her the gospel. I think her name is Caitlin, same name as you. Pray for Caitlin. I just left it with her. I told her how to pray to receive Christ. But I'm just saying to you, I feel defeated. Listen to me. I feel defeated when people go by me and I talk to them and I forget to give them the gospel. I don't do it. I feel defeated. How many of you felt defeated? That's a sin of omission. You kept your testimony in. And I know we're supposed to live it, but the book of Acts says, and we're supposed to let it out there, man. Let's make a noise. Let's make a noise. And Satan won't like it. But guess what? He has to get permission from God. And the last I checked out, he may have had permission to God to give me some trouble, but he can't stop me until God's done. May that be true in your life as well, just like the tribulation saints to come. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about being